How many are done with their Christmas? Okay, maybe a better question would be, how many have a yet another Christmas to go? One, two, three. How many more? Four, five. You got another Christmas to go? And we have a couple more. We're going to be packing a car today and head to Minnesota, try to get the Christmas presents in there. The title of this message is Not Over Yet. Not over yet. Proverbs 3:1-8. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Who wrote Proverbs? Somebody help me out. Solomon. What did Solomon ask God for? Wisdom. And God gave him long life and prosperity. So he's saying, live according to godly principles. Let your love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Lord, I thank you for the text that we have to share today, and I pray that you'll be with those in this congregation as we hear your word and as we hear a challenge today. Lord, I pray that you'll teach each one of us to love you more and more each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you had struggles or trials in your life? Raise your hand. Yeah, everyone. The Bible tells us that we will. And I love this song because it says, no matter what happens, I know who holds tomorrow in His hand. Isaiah 41 says, God holds me with His righteous right hand. Wow. Turning your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verses 38-42. And I would like it if you just kind of kept your Bibles open to that. We're going to be going to other scriptures, but we're going to come back. We're going to come back to that. Luke 10, 38-42. As Jesus and His disciples were on their way, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work for myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha. I love that part. It doesn't have an explanation point like He's trying to get Martha's attention. It's more like, Larry, Larry. Or Charles, Charles. Or Christy, Christy. Listen to me. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few are needed. Few things are needed, or indeed, just one thing. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. What a powerful text. I have an illustration from my Nelson Book of Illustrations, and it's called Seeds of Discouragement. I may want to ask before this, how many of you have ever been discouraged? Yeah. Yeah. I think all of us have. Listen to this. The devotional book Springs in the Valley tells of a man who found a barn where Satan keeps his seeds ready to be sown in the human heart. He found that the seeds of discouragement were more numerous than others than others, and he learned that those seeds could be made to grow almost anywhere. But when Satan was questioned, he reluctantly admitted that there was only one place which he could never get them to thrive. "And where's that?" the man asked. Satan replied sadly, "In the heart of a grateful person." In the heart of a grateful person. Some of you might be saying, referring back to the text that I read, we need more Marthas in the world. We need more people to help in the kitchen. We need more people to help in Awana. But that's not what the text is about. Not about being doers. It's about worrying about all the things of life. And what does Jesus say? Mary has chosen the better thing. Mary has chosen the better thing. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this text, and I pray that as we work through it, I pray that you will open our eyes to the better thing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This year, this time of year, the Sunday after Christmas brings with it a lot of emotions, doesn't it? For many of us. And the kids are saying, "I'm bored." Right? How many of you kids, are the kids saying that? Not yet. No, you got plenty to do. I learned at an early age never to say that at home. Why? Mom would say, "You must not have enough to do." And I would get a job. So we have all these things going on this time of year. And some of you, many of you, Christmas is not done. And so the title to the sermon, "Not Over Yet." Not over yet. So many people get discouraged this time of year, and I'm sure there's many, many, many reasons, but one of them might be because you spend months, certainly days and weeks, getting ready for all the family that are coming and all the preparations, all the gifts to purchase and all that, and then all of a sudden what? It's done. Or it might have been a disappointment to you. You didn't get what you wanted, or maybe some of the relatives that you were expecting to be there didn't show up. Or maybe you lost a loved one this last year and Christmas just isn't the same. So it was a disappointment to you, a discouragement. But I would like to encourage all of you this time of year to sit at the feet of Jesus. Sit at the feet of Jesus. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." It was in our call to worship. Lean not on your own understanding. God's ways are higher and more different than ours. And we need to lean on His understanding and not on our understanding. Our text today, Luke 10:38-42. We're going to read through one verse at a time and go through that. Starting with verse 38, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him." I'm wondering how many of you have invited Jesus into your Christmas. Maybe I should have had this message 6 weeks ago. I'm not sure. Maybe you'll remember it for next year. Have you invited Jesus into your Christmas and into your life? The busyness of Christmas and the stressfulness of it. We take our eyes off Jesus, don't we? Many of us, we take our eyes off Jesus to get the things done that have to be done. And so we leave him off in the dust somewhere. Have you made Jesus a part of your Christmas? Jesus and his disciples were coming into a town, and Martha invited him to their house. I'm not sure what time of year it was, but they made time for Jesus. And so Jesus and those who were with him came and sat down, and Jesus did what he did best, and he started teaching. And where was Mary? Sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening. Now, Christmas is over, but it's not over for many of us, but 2016 is just a few days away. Nona, do you remember Y2K? Did you prepare for Y2K?
Not really.
Not really. We bought 20 pounds of rice. That's all we did. I think the night before we saved up some water in case they were right. Y2K was 16 years ago. We're at 2016, just around the corner. Have you made time for Jesus this Christmas? This time of year, I need to ask you a question. Have you invited Jesus into your heart? Have you invited Jesus into your heart? And if you haven't done that, then do it now. Make him Lord of your life, King of your life, ruler. And do what he wants you to do. And then, every day in 2016, spend time at the feet of Jesus. Spend time at the feet of Jesus. Verse 39, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Jesus came into the house and he simply taught. He simply taught. Martha was in the kitchen, but Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. So here's the question today. Are you able to do what Mary did? Are you able to cut out just a few moments out of every day and spend sitting at the feet of Jesus? Just a few moments. If you have never done that, 10 minutes might seem like a really long time, but I would encourage you, maybe start with 5 minutes. Just spend 5 minutes reading God's Word, because this is how He speaks to us. And then praying to Him and listening for the response. Spend time at the feet of Jesus. I would encourage you this next week, and this next year. This is not a 2016 message, by the way. That's coming next week. But I want to encourage you all, don't let a day go by without spending time at the feet of Jesus. Jeremiah 29, verse 12 and 13, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me if you seek me with all of your heart. Seek Jesus this year. Verse 40. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work to myself? Tell her to help me. Now, I don't know about your family, but when I was growing up, there were four of us. A brother about 15 months older than me, and then my twin brother, and then a sister 3 years younger. Mom, Barry's not doing his job. Has that ever happened in your house? Clean's sitting on the couch. He's supposed to be drying the dishes. Martha comes up to Jesus and says, aren't you concerned? Aren't you concerned? Oh, so many distractions, so many worries in our life, isn't there? I love Jesus' teaching on the subject of worry in Matthew 6, and I'm going to read the text. There's about 7 verses here. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body or what you will wear? Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See the flowers of the field? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Why? Because tomorrow has enough worry of its own. Each day has enough trouble of its own, he says. Some of you might be saying in your heart, not in your mind, but some of you might be saying in your heart, I don't trust God. And Pastor Bruce, if you don't mind, I'm going to worry about tomorrow because there's so many worries about there. And some of you might be saying, I worry about all the things that I have to worry about. We have so many worries in our world. But Jesus says, do not worry about tomorrow because each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't borrow trouble. Don't worry about tomorrow. Listen how Jesus answers Martha. This is the best part. I love those first two words. Rhonda, Rhonda. Diane, Diane. Aaron, Aaron. Can you hear his voice telling you? Can you just hear it? Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about so many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. It will not be taken from her. Wouldn't it be nice to have an advocate like Jesus? Guess what? You do. Jesus is standing right now at the right of the Father interceding for you. Just like he did for Mary. He's sticking up for you. Martha, Martha. Jesus stuck up for Mary because she was doing what was best. Are you doing what was best? Are you spending time at the feet of Jesus? Romans 8, starting with verse 28. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. For those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. And then we're going to jump down to verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Who loved us? Who showed us how to love? Jesus did. Listen to this. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love that God that God has in Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And He cares about you. Are you going to spend time at the feet of Jesus this next year? I hope so. This is the last Sunday in 2015. It's probably the last time I will get to ask you a very important question. Have you made Jesus Lord of your life? Have you made Him the ruler of your heart? If you haven't, do it today. Do it today. We've talked this morning about how Jesus walked into the life of Mary and Martha. And we talked how Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. And we talked about how busy Martha was, that she had so many concerns of things that had to happen. And listen once more to what Jesus says to Martha. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Give your life to Jesus. How many of you are good spellers? How many of you are not? Okay, I'm with you. I love the computer. When the computer started coming out, everything goes to the computer. If I write it down, I cannot read it, but I can't. You would really know how bad a speller I am. But that little squiggly red line, very helpful, isn't it? I've always struggled with the word business. I'm going to encourage you not to stop working, but leave your busyness. Leave your busyness off to the side. I learned many years ago, that's how you spell it, busyness. All of us have stuff that we do, our business, right? That's my business, not yours. We all have things that we're worried about. So don't stop working because you need to provide for your families, but leave your busyness in 2015. And if you don't know how to spell it, just put it on the computer, it'll help you out. Spend time at the feet of Jesus starting today. Amen. A text that you're probably all familiar with, Isaiah 40. 28-31. I read this at the Christian church, and someone was wearing a t-shirt with Isaiah 41, verse 31 on it. It was awesome. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. My God is big enough to hold all of you in His right hand. And the scripture says, in His righteous right hand, I will hold all of your troubles. Spend time at the feet of Jesus. Amen.